Dear brothers and sisters, the warriors, the commanders that go out to the battle, they have to prepare something like sword, armor, and shields. And the full armor in today's reading passage referred to this, the helmet, the breastplate, and all other armors. So why does the Bible compare, talk about the things that are needed for the battle? Because this world in which we are living is a spiritual battlefield. And to win in this battle, we have to have spiritual full armor of God. Everybody would agree that the world is getting increasingly more evil. There are so many sins and evil that we couldn't even imagine in the past. And so many people, there are so many temptations in the world, more and more. Luke 18, verse 8, later part says, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So it's very difficult to find faith in this world today. And look at the believers around you. You could soon realize that not many of them have true faith. Do they really wait for the second coming of the Lord and try to cast away sins being awakened spiritually? Then sometimes you might even feel that you are, they might say you are too much, you are extreme. You need to take it easy, people might say to you. But God, of course, God gives us peace, and the Lord came to give us peace. And He didn't want to give you a burden. People might say this to you. But it doesn't mean you are wrong. You are doing something wrong in your faith. The Bible doesn't tell us to go the broad way, but the narrow way. So when you go out to your workplaces and come to the church every night to pray, it's not something, it's not because God is trying to give us a hard time, but we are praying to prepare for the eternal life and to be full of Holy Spirit. In this world, there's no other way but to pray. How can we overcome this world with the fullness of the Spirit? How can we overcome the devil? But people, believers, so-called believers, might say, we need to take it easy. Then we shouldn't pray so much every night. But actually, what you're doing is right. It's not that we are doing something wrong or we are doing it by force. God is not saying, oh, heaven gate is big and wide and you can take it easy and you can go the broad way. You can come to heaven. No, God doesn't say that. And God is, He is telling us to go the narrow way and to stand firm on faith. And when we take this way with faith and obedience, God is pleased. So, and God protects us from all kinds of diseases, accidents, disasters. And if somebody is telling you to take it easy and look into their lives, do they really have peace and happiness? They must have some kinds of complaints, unhappiness. And if somebody bugs them, they must be struggling, arguing, quarreling. And actually, what a pity. Pity on them. You beat yourself to the obedience, to make it obedient to Christ. And you are set free from the burden of sin. So how peaceful are you? So this is the kind, true kind of Christian life that the Lord is wanting us to lead. And if you have to take the worldly things after getting off from your work, and you don't find peace, and then you come to church on Sunday only, and you think you are saved, and during the weekdays you don't have assurance of salvation. This is not true Christian life. Not according to the Bible. The Bible doesn't say we can lead that kind of Christian life. We have to be awakened. The Bible always tells us we have to be awakened, pray continually, resist, struggle against sins to the point of shedding blood. We have to store up rewards in heaven. We have to cut off the worldly things. We are not violating anything in the Bible. We are living according to the Bible. We are following, keeping the word of God. At first, you might feel it's a little hard, but as you keep on obeying, you understand the will of God. You understand God's heart in giving us the commandments, that it is for happiness. But look at the world. Look at the people around you. Even among the believers, they befriend the world. So many of them. They say they believe, but they just live. Just like unbelievers. And we can't even call them Christians. We can't just say they are churchgoers. So what a pity. Even among the believers, there are many who actually take it easy in their lives, in their Christian lives. And in doing so, they eventually depart from faith. So they are actually going the way of hell. So looking at this reality, if the Lord comes back later, very late, then how many people would be saved? There are 7.6 billion people in the world. And in this sin-filled world, end time, how many people would fall into destruction and death and hell? For this reason, this church has to spread the gospel of holiness to the whole world with the powerful works of God. Not just our shepherd alone, but you many members, all of them, all of you, have to have put on the full armor of God to save so many souls around the world. So the meaning, the purpose of putting on the full armor of God, first of all, is to overcome this world. And secondly, it is to lead so many souls to the Christ. This message was delivered by the senior pastor in 1999. The reading passage, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, can be divided into three parts. First, verses 10 to 12. It tells us of why we have to put on the full armor of God and who we have to struggle against. The second part, verses 13 to 17, it talks about the levels of taking on the full armor of God and explanations about each part of the full armor. And the last part, verse 18, talks about what we have to do to put on the full armor of God. I hope you will understand these very well and arm yourself with the breastplate, shoes and helmet and sword and shield so that you'll be able to give glory to God in your spiritual battle every day. So from now, let us delve into the reading passage verse by verse. First, verse 10 says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." In the Lord means in the Word of God in the 66 books of the Bible. For John chapter 1 verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus is the Word of God that became flesh and came to this world. So to be in the Lord, we can't just dwell in the Word of God. Can we be one with the Lord or not? We can become one with the Lord. The Bible is telling us to do so, to be one with the Lord, and also it explains about how, the ways to become one with the Lord. And to become one with the Lord, we can just dwell in the Word of God. Saying we believe in the Lord with lips doesn't mean He is in the Lord, but He has to live in the Word of God. Those who live in the Word of God are the ones who are living in the Word. So, it also says in the strength of His might means the strength coming when we are in the Lord. We can receive strength from God and the Lord when we are in the Lord. So to be in the Lord is to dwell in the Word of God. So according to the Word, we have to cast away sins to the point of shedding blood. They are the ones who live in the light. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. When we say we believe in God, we believe in the Lord, it can be acknowledged when we live by the Word of God. We can't look into the hearts of the people. So we tend to judge by their appearances, their actions, their words. And with only words and actions, we might think they love the Lord, they love God. But you know, there are many people who can fake that just because of the wealth of others or their body. They say and act like they love these people. They love them. But because of that, you know, sometimes they give their money, they give their body. And later, actually it was they were con men. You know, so in the world, people can cheat in these, even in the matter of love. But with God, we can never cheat God. Even if we praise God with so many beautiful words, even if we praise Him, God doesn't accept all of those things. It all depends on according to how much we live by the Word of God. So to the extent that we live by the Word of God, He acknowledges that we love God. So to the extent that we obey the truth, we can have trust and love with God. So those who walk in the light, the blood of the Lord Jesus will cleanse them from all sin. So since there are original sins and sins that you commit, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all original sins and sins that we commit ourselves. So as we begin to walk in the light, we will first cast away sins that we commit in actions. And later we will also cast away sins that we commit in our hearts. Then eventually, after we get rid of all sinful natures, we can reach the state of holiness that God wants us to achieve. So to the extent that we cast away sins, the light in us will become stronger. There is a strength in the light also. So some lights are strong, some other lights are weak. So to the extent that we live in the truth, to the extent that we live by the Word of God, the light in us will become stronger. And it will become our strength. So in the spiritual realm, sinlessness is power. So living by the Word of God is the power in the spiritual realm. So even little children, if they don't have any sin, the enemy, devil, and Satan will have to tremble. It's the same as the principle that where there is light, there is no darkness. Darkness has to go away. So to the extent that you don't have sin, to the same extent, you will have spiritual strength. And when they drive away enemy, devil, and Satan, demons, they will go away. You'll be able to control the diseases also. Of course, the strength has to be great. But if you really have the strong, powerful strength, then you can drive away strength from yourself, disease from yourself, sicknesses and illnesses from others as well. So this means having the strength of His might in the Lord. So through that strength, you can be healthy spiritually and physically. If you are strong in spirit, how can you be healthy in body too? Because man consists of spirit, soul, and body. Actually, spirit was the master. But since Adam's sin, all spirits died, and soul became the master of the body. This soul is about the thought realm. So this thought realm became the master of man. So the thoughts control the body. So man became man of soul. Man of soul are men of untruth. So because Satan controls the soul of man through the soul, through the channel called soul, Satan put in a lot of sins in people. Actually, before Adam's sin, Adam's fall, spirit was the master. But God said, if you eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. So according to God's word, spirit actually died. And so, because there is no spirit in control, soul took the control in place of spirit. And Satan controls this soul. So, through the soul, Satan put in a lot of sins, so people became men of untruth, sinful men. But when we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and it revives the dead spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives us the strength, spiritual strength. And we receive the help from the Holy Spirit and we keep on obeying the Word of God. Spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit, but soul is controlled by Satan. So we can never become men of soul. But unless our spirit is revived, the Holy Spirit cannot control us. But when we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and revives the dead spirit so that the Holy Spirit can control us and He dwells in our heart. But now, as of now, still the strength of the spirit is not strong. Maybe like 10%. And the other 90% is the strength of the truth. So you might, but you shouldn't say it's hard to live by the Word of God. Suppose you are a relatively new believer and you have only 10% of truth in you. But as you keep on praying, and if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, this 10% of the truth can control the whole part of you, yourself entirely. So if you obey, even though you have a little bit of truth in you, you can keep on increasing that heart of truth in you. According to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you cast away untruths and live by the Word of God, and the truth in you will keep on increasing. So, and as you, suppose you reach 20, 30, and 60%, the truth in you reaches 60%, it means the power of truth is stronger than the power of untruth. And now the spirit can actually take control and become like the master of man. But of course, that is not the end. There is still the 40% of untruth. Satan will always try to make you sin through that 40% of untruth. Now they realize that you've been filling yourself with the truth in you, and now it's been cultivated. 60% of your heart is cultivated with the truth. So because they realize that, they will try so hard, even harder, to reverse the situation. So that is why you shouldn't take it easy at any time. If you take it easy and try to relax, Satan will not miss that chance. So what we have to do, we always have to try to realize our shortcomings, and our passion must not cool down at any time. Once it does, we might even lose. So we should be on the alert all the time and keep on obeying the truth. Then this 60% of the heart of truth will increase to 70% and 80%, and the spiritual strength will become even stronger, and eventually you'll become a whole, complete man of spirit. And the spirit can actually take control 100%. Then they are the ones whose souls prosper. When the spirit takes a full control, this is the state called your soul prospers. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." So your soul prospering means spirit to control of your soul and body. So even though the spirit is stronger for now, if you don't complete it, if you don't completely cultivate your heart with the truth, spirit, and Satan will try to reverse the situation any all the time. So I hope you keep it in mind and be on the alert all the time. The spirit will control soul and body too. So if you have spiritual strength, you can drive away physical sicknesses as well. Spirit is the truth. So it's the light. So with the authority of light, you can make yourself healthy. Once your spirit is healthy, not only your body will be healthy, but you will receive blessings in all respects of your life, children, family, business, everywhere. Suppose your children are disobedient, and if you have strong power of light, you can even drive away the part of darkness that is controlling your children, and you can make them good children. If you go into the light, you will receive the power in the Lord, strength in the Lord, and you receive blessings in body and spirit. As Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." If you meditate on the Word of God all the time and keep the Word of God, then God will give you health in spirit and body. He will make you prosper. You'll have success. But knowing the Word of God doesn't guarantee your prosperity or success. You have to keep the Word of God. You have to keep it in mind, and you have to actually put it into practice. Sometimes you learn the Word of God, and you know it. Sometimes you know the Word of God, so you beat yourself up with it. When you are not perfect, then you kind of feel afflicted. You kind of feel hard. But does that mean we must not know the Word of God? No, of course not. Of course we have to learn the Word of God, because we have to. Because we have to keep it. We have to know it to keep it. Suppose everybody knows, love your enemies. Even though we know it, in real life, if somebody gives you a hard time, knowing it doesn't mean you can keep it. Knowing it, you feel bad about it. You're not at peace. Because you don't love that person. Sometimes in these situations, you might be mistaken. You have to acknowledge the fact that you are not at peace because you are not living by the Word of God. But you mistakenly think, I'm not at peace because that person is giving me a hard time. If you think in this way, you can't solve this spiritual problem. It's never that way. Even if somebody gives you a hard time, even if somebody gives you such a hard time, if you just keep the Word of God and act in goodness, you don't feel hard at all. You'll always be at peace. No matter how much they curse you and whatever they do, you might feel a bit sorry or mourning for that soul. for a moment, but soon you're full of joy and peace. God gives you that joy and peace when you love that person and when you really live by the Word of God. Nobody can take away the heaven in your heart. Our shepherd has been suffering a lot, ministering this church. But he never said he was tired, he was having a hard time. He was never complaining. Have you ever seen him do that? No. I'm absolutely sure you've never seen him lose the hope of heaven. Sometimes he has to explain some of the things that are happening in the church. But his heart was always full of hope of heaven. And after explaining all those things, he always made professions of faith. And his faith was perfect. His faith was never shaken. So, even for now, until now, he's been living only for the glory of God. So, this is the strength of the Lord when that will be given to you when you are in the Lord. But when you don't live by the Word of God, you are affected by the circumstances and the situations, so you feel hard, you suffer, and you lose strength, and don't find the reason anywhere else but from your heart itself. But if you live by the Word of God, no matter what kind of things people do to you, you're always at peace. Deuteronomy 10:13 or so says, "And to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good." Keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Did God give the commandments to give us a hard time? No, He gave them to us for good. Even on this earth, if we keep them, we'll be happy. When we keep them, we'll be happy. Of course, in the process of changing ourselves into those who actually keep the commandments, maybe sometimes we might have some struggles in our heart. When the heart of truth and the heart of untruth, they struggle against each other. So we might feel a bit hard in that process. But if you overcome and love others, forgive others, understand others, and if you stretch out your hand first, then you'll be filled with joy and happiness. This is the ultimate thing that God wants us to achieve. So it's for our own happiness. God gave us this happiness to us. Do you feel that you are not happy, really? Or your religious life, Christian life, is a bit hard? You're not happy, but you feel a bit hard or unhappy? Don't try to find the cause from somebody else or from the situation, but apply the Word of God to yourself. Do you just know the Word of God in your head, or do you really keep the Word of God? So the answer to a happy life lies here. If you keep the Word of God, you'll be happy. And saying this, senior pastor said, in meditating and keeping the Word of God, he said, we have to remember the following things. Of course, especially, we have to remember the following things, that we must never pass judgment and condemnation on others. We must never slander or gossip or lie. But we have to always give out sweet words. And senior pastor told us to meditate on it day and night in 1999. And it's the same today. This is the message that we absolutely need today. Suppose you don't keep it, then you'll be unhappy. You pass judgment and condemnation on somebody. You hear from somebody and you slander somebody, and somebody tries to attack us, and suppose you want to fight back, and you'll be unhappy. I'm sure you'll be unhappy. Why? Because there is the Word of God. Because you are not keeping the Word of God. Suppose you keep this message, this advice of the shepherd. Somebody is passing judgment and condemnation on you. But you don't judge that person back. You don't attack that person back. But you only react in goodness. You just forgive and you just pray. Then God is on your side and God gives you happiness and joy. So, senior pastor asked us, advised us to meditate his advice day and night. Also, he said, those who meditate on the Word of God day and night, even when they sleep talk, they will sleep talk in the truth. Maybe they will sing praises in the dreams. And they will have dreams of talking in the, having truthful conversations in the Word of God. Sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night, most of the times I don't remember. Most of the times I don't remember dreams, but when I do remember, many times I dream of preaching and delivering the messages, delivering the Word of God. Sometimes half asleep, I dream like I'm trying to give advice to the church members. Sometimes you preached the gospel to somebody and you're trying to make him a Christian, and in your dream, you dream that he actually came to church. They actually came to church and became Christians. And you might think you might have this kind of a dream. But suppose in your dream, you get angry, you throw temper tantrum, you curse, then it means your heart is not cultivated with the truth, the Word of God. You might think it is nothing, it's just a dream. But actually, whatever is in your heart is seen in the dream. So he can let you realize. So those who really love God, they don't just forget about the dreams they have. They keep them in mind to realize themselves. Some young people, they say, "Oh, pastor, I dreamt of this gorgeous woman appeared in my dream, and this gorgeous actor appeared in my dream. My heart was pounding." So they were actually trying to be cautious. So how lovely is that attitude? You know, they try to realize that they have this desire for the world, and they have this kind of adulterous heart, and they can be tempted if somebody tempts them. So they can accept themselves, they can acknowledge themselves, and they can pray about it so that they can cast them away. So those who try to change themselves in this way, they don't just try to forget about the dreams, but they keep it in mind and make use of it to change themselves. So if you really cultivate your heart with the truth, you will only have truth even in your dreams. So I hope you will circumcise your heart diligently and be full of joy and happiness coming from above. Verse 11, Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." It tells us the reason why we have to put on the full armor of God. It is to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Schemes of the devil. They're not seen. So does that mean it's not there? Of course it's there. Everywhere in our lives. Senior pastor said, in your life, in your family, in your workplaces, all the time, devil is always following you. So we have to understand this so that we can stand firm and drive it away. But not just that, but we have to be able to overcome, rule over, and govern even the devil. And if you go into that kind of level, everything will follow you. Fame, money, power, everything can be yours. Let us look into how specifically devil tries to work in you or on you. They want to lead even just one more soul to hell. So they try to make everybody sin. And they create these schemes even for the children of God. They know the sinful natures that each one hasn't cast away yet. So they try to work through these sinful natures. So if you covet somebody else's things, when you have a heart, when you lie to somebody, it means they are all schemes of the devil. Maybe you hate somebody. The devil knows you have hatred. So they give you the thoughts that they are disgusting. And you hate them. And you remember their iniquities and faults. So through Satan, they give you these thoughts, untruthful thoughts, to agitate the sinful nature in you. And if you accept them, you will keep on hating them. Suppose you keep on having these hateful thoughts all the time. And then the gravity, the magnitude of hatred will become bigger and bigger. And if you speak out these words, slander them, then it means you're creating a wall of sin before God. So Satan is always trying to make us sin. Let me give you a... suppose you have greed. And when you don't have something that others have, you envy them. You covet them. At this moment, if you have the Word of God in you, you realize your covetousness, your greed. If you always try to meditate on the Word of God, and if the Word of God is in you, you will, if you are on the alert, and if you are a believer who prays, then you will realize that you had this covetousness. Whether it's in your school or workplace or family, you can pray in your heart so that you'll drive away the schemes of the devil. Oh, my heart was agitated. I coveted this. Or watching TV. Or you wanted that house. Oh, I want to live in that big house. If you have this kind of thought, the greed and covetousness, it is agitated while seeing something. And you're having these thoughts. And those who are on the alert, they can realize that they are having these untruthful thoughts. You're envying and you're coveting. So you don't just pass it. So you pray about it. That you can cast away these untruthful hearts and thoughts. Then you can overcome these thoughts. And the Holy Spirit will help you by giving you the hope of heaven. And He will remind you of the authority of the children of God on this earth. And He will give you these happy thoughts. And if you listen to this voice of the Holy Spirit, then you will realize the heaven is beautiful, and I will enjoy a lot more things in heaven. And whatever I do on this earth, whether I pray or work for the kingdom of God, whatever I couldn't have on this earth, the Father God will prepare everything for me. And I don't have to envy any of these things. And if you have these spiritual thoughts, all the covetousness will go away. Satan will go away. The schemes of the devil is failed. So suppose if you... Okay, now you know you had this greed or covetousness. So you can pray about it in the Daniel prayer meeting. Of Father, I've found out that I have this covetousness. Get rid of it. Help me get rid of it. Then as you keep on doing that, you can be changed. You can cast away untruths from your heart. This is to overcome the schemes of the devil. But if you don't meditate the Word of God, when Satan agitates your greed, you can't drive it away with the Word of God, and you will keep on having more thoughts of envy and greed, and you can't even commit the work of the flesh called theft. Or if it, or at least you can, the Satan will keep trying to give you other thoughts, untruthful thoughts, so you might complain. You might have some complaints on your husband or your parents or little children. They went to some of their friends' house and they have a big room, big bedroom to themselves, and they have laptops and Xbox and Nintendo or whatever they want to have. And they have this greed. And they keep on accepting these Satan's thoughts, and they complain against their parents. Oh, my parents are not rich enough, and they don't give me everything I want. That is why I don't want to study hard. And is this the right thought? You don't want your children to have such thoughts, but you do so in your lives. If somebody has something and you don't, and you complain against your husband or your wife or your life or your parents, and you get disappointed, you complain. So you become resentful. And this is the schemes of the devil. And you think you have these thoughts by yourself. Oh, because of this environment, because of this situation, because I was poor, that is why I'm tired. But that's not the case. Actually, it's the devil who is making you tired. But it's just that you don't accept that fact. God is telling us to rejoice always, but we don't meditate on it. We don't obey it. So that is why you are unhappy. You're having a hard time. But even though you're poor, you're not financially well off, just because of the hope of heaven, you are happy. You're joyful. Just you're holding on to this one verse, rejoice always. And you cut off the thoughts of Satan all the time, then you will have happiness. Not because you are rich, but because you have the Word of God in you. And when you keep the Word of God, you will be happy. Even though you are so rich, if you don't have the Word of God, if you seek more and more, and you are not satisfied, and you become unhappy. So happiness is actually up to you. So the enemy devil, the schemes of the devil, the devil tries to agitate, motivate the sinful natures that are not cast away yet in your heart, and they give you untruthful thoughts. So remember this, understand this. So always be on the alert about the schemes of the devil. I explained about how Satan works through our soul, our thoughts, and how we can cut them off, and how we can fundamentally get rid of them. And you can apply it. Many times what you hear agitates your heart. Sometimes you hear the gossip from somebody. Or you hear from somebody that somebody else is gossiping about you. So now you can decide whether you will feel bad or you will have thoughts of goodness. So this is your choice. If you lose to the devil, she slandered me, she gossiped about me. How can she say that about me? And you gossip back. This means you lose to the schemes of the devil. You're not putting on the full armor of God. Don't quarrel, don't slander, don't gossip. You're not keeping it. So just because others gossiped about you, you gossip about them too. So you lose to the devil. You fall in the schemes of the devil. But you choose the truth. And you will try to let them understand. Oh, it's better that you don't deliver this kind of thing. And I don't believe she said that. And this one who delivers this news to you will say, oh, it's true, it's really true, I heard it. And yet, you still say, I don't believe it, it's okay, you shouldn't deliver such a thing. Then the devil will just run away from you. Because you say only the words of truth. And the Holy Spirit will encourage you even more. then the word that is delivered to you, you wouldn't remember it. Because you remember it, you keep it in mind, you have a hard time. Oh, you say nice words. Oh, there must be a misunderstanding, or she mustn't have said that, or maybe she had a misunderstanding because I've done something wrong. But you still have untruths in you, and you keep on remembering it. Did she really say it? Why would she say it? I was so nice to her. And this uncomfortable feelings don't go away. It's because you have the untruths in your heart and you couldn't cut off the schemes of the devil. You don't have any passing judgment or condemnation or slander or gossip in you. And no, even though others gossip about you, you don't remember it. So there's nothing that can make you uncomfortable. You can't remember it. You don't remember. You suffer in your heart because you remember that person gossiped about you, slanders you. But if you don't remember anything, there's nothing that can give you a hard time. There's nothing that can make you uncomfortable. So this is the goal toward which we are going. So let us strive to achieve this level. Our shepherd is suffering so much to lead us to New Jerusalem, and we shouldn't just say, oh, we want to give up on New Jerusalem. I don't want to do it. No, after giving out evil, oh, I still have evil in me, so that's me. Let us not say that. Let us go toward goodness, achieve goodness that God wants us to achieve. Even if we don't have the strength yet to cut off the schemes of the devil right away, let us try. And as long as you are awake and on the alert, the Holy Spirit will help us. The schemes of the devil is that they try to make us not live by the Word of God through the surroundings, circumstances. Suppose a newcomer comes to church. They are touched by, they are impressed by the powerful works of God, the goodness of the church members, by the service of the church members. So when newcomers come, they are touched by the grace of God, and they want to keep on coming. But the schemes of the devil tries to affect them. Suppose they, during the weekdays, they were talking with somebody else. I went to Manmin Church, and they were talking with somebody, and they said, oh, Manmin Church, you shouldn't go to that church. And they delivered to them many false reports about Manmin Church. So the leaders or pastors, they find this kind of case quite often. Later, when they visit this person, they didn't come to church next Sunday, and when they visited them, and they heard some false reports about a church from somebody else. So this is the schemes of the devil. So that's why you have to understand this kind of thing. And so when there are newcomers, you have to visit them early in the weekdays, Monday or Tuesday, so that they can be reaffirmed. And you have to keep on taking care of them during the weekdays, not just once or many times, especially in case of newcomers. So pastors and leaders, they have to take care of them in this way. And also in your lives, some believers, sometimes you make up your mind to try harder, but there are some other people or things that hinder you, that disturb you from, prevent you from trying harder in your faith. Some believers, they can't keep themselves in faith, and they fall away from faith. They know the Word of God, but because of the schemes of the devil, they can't stand firm against them, and they fall away from faith. It's because they haven't put on the full armor of God. So now, you might think, you don't have the strength to stand against the schemes of the devil because you haven't put on the full armor of God yet. No. Of course, there are steps to take. Even though you don't have the full armor of God yet, you have the Holy Spirit in you who is helping you. So you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can still overcome the devil. And to receive the help and strength of the Holy Spirit, you must keep on praying. And you must not take the worldly things. If you look at the untruthful things, sinful things, and the world will come into you. And you don't have the strength to overcome the devil. So you mustn't put your mind on the things of the flesh, but only on the things above. And you always have to think about praying more, changing yourself more, working hard for the kingdom of God more. Then the Holy Spirit will always encourage you and help you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants our spirit, soul, and body to be kept complete, blameless. So we have to make it blameless first, and then we have to preserve it complete. But in this sinful world, without putting the full armor of God, our spirit, soul, and body will be tainted. So, standing against the power of darkness, we have to keep ourselves and to lead so many people, so many souls to the way of Christ, we have to put on the full armor of God. Especially those who love God and the souls and those who work hard for the kingdom of God, they must have greater longing for the full armor of God. So when do you feel the need for the full armor of God? When you actually try to accomplish the kingdom of God, when you try to take care of many souls, you might encounter many schemes of the devil. Then you might wish that you might have very strong power of the word of God and power of God. Only with the power you can actually plant faith in the souls, make them repent, and let them turn away from the way of sin to the way of heaven. Because the kingdom of God does not consist in word, but only in power. So you must have great longing for the power of God. So if you want to be used for God's kingdom greatly, you will naturally long for the full armor of God. And I will talk about the full armor of God for the next several weeks. So I hope you will put on the full armor of God and become precious workers for the kingdom of God. From the verse 12, I will get into them from the next week. Let me conclude the message. Through today's message, in the message I talked about why we have to put on the full armor of God and that we can receive strength from above to the extent that we keep the word of God. If you put on the full armor of God, it'll give you such tremendous power and authority. You'll be able to rule over the enemy, devil, and Satan. You won't be afraid of anything. You'll have the courage. So you will keep your faith even in the threats of life, in the face of the threats of life. This life is the most precious thing in this world. But even for this life, you're not afraid. What a great strength it is. If you put on the full armor of God, you can do it. Our shepherd said many times, I'm not afraid of any threats of life. I'm teaching the word of God. I'm delivering the word of God. And he was not afraid of any schemes, any work of the devil. So we can also have this kind of faith and strength. And we can do it if we put on the full armor of God. Just like the believers in the early church. They were just the women, children, but even women and children, they had, when they had faith, they were not afraid of being martyred. So they were being, they became martyrs singing praises. So these schemes of the devil actually turned into glory of heaven, rewards in heaven. Those who didn't have faith, they could fall, they might complain. But those who have faith, those who have put on the full armor of God, at the face of schemes of the devil, they're not affected. They just overcome and they, but rather they rule over the schemes of the devil, so they are at peace. They don't complain. They don't have to complain. In the history of Christianity, the devil always try to attack men of faith so that they will lose faith and so many people wouldn't believe in the Lord. But the persecutions in the early church accomplished the kingdom of God even more greatly. Through those persecutions, the Christianity spread even faster. So when they were preaching everywhere, many people were curious about this new faith. And many people accepted the Lord. Even though the schemes of the devil might look very meticulous and well thought out, but eventually the providence of God will prevail. So even it's the same today. Many people try to bring down the kingdom of God. But we will accomplish the kingdom of God more greatly than ever and will spread a holiness gospel to all of the world. This church is guaranteed and attested to by God. If you believe this, you will have the longing to be used by God greatly. Then, at this moment, I hope you will pray harder, work for the kingdom of God even harder, and you will arm yourself with the full armor of God, with the truth. Because the power in the spiritual realm is only goodness, love, and truth. Even though the devil tries to attack us or tries to agitate our untruths to come out, this is the time you can change yourself. This is the time when God is making us spiritual warriors. Who are spiritual warriors? Men of love, men of goodness, men of truth. It's the time that God is making us spiritual warriors. So in this sin-filled world, in this end time, let us stand firm against the schemes of the devil and win the victory and finish this good fight. Then I hope you will all be able to receive the crown of righteousness. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.